Yo, Z-Pack, this episode is made possible by the generous sponsorship of Athena Health. Athena Health partners with hospital and ambulatory clients to drive results. They offer network-enabled medical record, revenue cycle management, patient engagement, care coordination, and population health services to build Health 3.0. Yo, get back to the work you love doing. Athena Health, free up.
Revenue cycle management, Tom, what do you think?
Dude, I think it's the dopest-ish in the world.
That's right.
Why is the title of this episode so racist? See, what's wrong with
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you're racist.
Why you want to play me like that on my own show, dude? Like, we talked about this before the show went live. Like, it's a joke about developmental levels and Maslow's hierarchy and the color spectrum of developmental human. Also, it's super racist.
I don't know. It sounds pretty racist because I'm a green. I don't know if you know that about me, but we're allowed to call racist on everybody.
That is, in fact, the opposite of the actual intent of green. But if you want to play it like that, you can play it like that, Mr.
Oh, that's
green.
How us greens roll, Z-Dog MD.
I think you're more like a brown. Like you want to be brown like me. Because I'm so brown. Guys, check it out. Today's episode, we're going to dive into the interesting and esoteric world of human development and levels of development. And that you would think of Maslow's hierarchy as one model. We have a model that parallels that, that we think is very interesting because it explains politics, religion, medicine, science, spirituality, all in one crazy goulash of different colors, each enfolding the previous set of colors in a warm, holistic embrace. That's right, you've probably already tuned out. Now, for those of you who haven't tuned out, first of all, we want to give a heck of a shout out to our own ass because it's Incident Report 100. 100 episodes of Incident Report and another 25 of Against Medical Advice. I don't know about you, Tom, but I think we're the shit.
I think we're pretty dope. And to celebrate, we're going to spend about an hour at the ball pit. I've arranged it, boys.
Ooh. Yeah. Burger King or McDonald's?
McD's,
of course. Yeah.
Happy meal?
Mm-hmm.
Boys' you know, toy or girls' toy?
I'm getting some nuggets, and they ain't gonna be made of chicken. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't make sense.
You know what helps? You know what helps a lot when you go to the McDonald's drive-thru and they ask you, "Do you want a boys' or a girls' toy?" You go, "I'd like a gender non-binary trans toy, please."
Yeah,
I like that thing.
And usually, the person working the counter is at a blue mythic magic level of conformist development, and will look at you with quizzical eyes. I have no idea even what that means, but we're going to talk about it today.
You need to tell the people what the levels are so that these jokes make sense, Z-Dog MD.
These jokes will never make sense, Tom Heineberg. Now, first of all, a little housekeeping. The shooting in Las Vegas continues to ripple out and have repercussions locally. Lots of people have messaged me about how they can help. On Sunday, on Against Medical Advice, we are going to have the legendary Danita Cohen, who is the chief experience officer at UMC Hospital, which has been one of the epicenters along with Sunrise and Desert Springs and Spring Valley and the Dignity St. Rose system here in Las Vegas taking care of patients. And we are going to talk about how you can help and what's been going on in the front lines there. And we're going to ask her about Trump, right, Logan?
Of course.
Because Trump was just there at UMC.
Yeah, that's true. My hero, Z.
By the way, oh, real quick, a great nurse from Spring Valley named Carolyn messaged us and said that they're trying to get fire sticks for the rooms in Spring Valley Hospital so that the patients don't have to watch the depressing news coverage of them getting shot over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So we'll post the link in the comments, and if you feel compelled to help out with that, please do.
Yeah, I mean, if you're stuck in a hospital bed with only a TV and you're flipping through channels and all you see are reminders of what happened and you're trying to heal and you're trying to get better. I mean, all joking aside, that's very, very hard. And this nurse brought it up and we want to bring it up to you. So we'll talk about other ways we can help, but maybe interfacing with Spring Valley's PR guys and seeing can we donate Netflix accounts or Fire Sticks or something for those TVs that could take the edge off for those patients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm more of a Google Chrome guy. But the Fire Stick is cheaper. You know what I'm saying? Plus, you can hack it.
I mean, see, if I were doing it, I would get them Apple TVs because I'm dumb and like to waste money. And this broadcast has been sponsored by Apple. Apple, bringing great things to life since 1972. We miss you, Steve Jobs. Nothing poured out. today's episode, getting into the weeds of this, I'm going to read a couple comments first. For example,
Yes, Google Chrome by Carrie Bennett, and Great Idea by Robert Larson. Okay, those are the two most inane comments that I could have read, and I read them. Today, what we want to talk about, we alluded to this the other day when we were having our tribe talk, and this idea that human beings and societies and countries and systems like healthcare or the airline industry or these whole entities, they actually evolve through stages of development. And these stages, only in the last 100 years, have they really been studied well and understood. So you have like 14 billion years, you know, 15 billion years or so since the Big Bang. And only in the last 100 years have humans started to study how does stuff actually develop, and looking at patterns and realizing, wow, there are a bunch of different people who describe how these systems evolve. And they all kind of, in many ways, mesh and concur. And so one of the classic sort of ways to understand human development, and first of all, why do we even want to do this? We want to do this because we want to understand what level of development we are at, what level of development a system or a country or our healthcare system is at, and how we can nudge ourselves and others up to higher levels, and whether those higher levels are actually desirable. So after you understand that, you will look at politics, you will look at religion, you will look at nationalism, you'll look at economics with entirely different eyes. You'll try to see where does this fit in the developmental scheme of things, in this grand nested hierarchy of development and evolution. And it actually matters. So if we pull up the Maslow hierarchy, this is one of the more famous sort of schemes for, say, human development. And Maslow sort of described this pyramid. And when you look at a pyramid, the base has the most sort of action in it. In other words, there's the biggest number of people maybe struggling at that level. And then as you evolve through the level, there are fewer people, but that level has greater depth to it. So once you satisfy your physiologic needs, in other words, can you eat? Are you able to breathe? Is there water? That sort of thing. Once you get through that, then you go up to the next level, because then you're just worried, okay, am I safe? So are others of my kind going to try to harm me? Am I going to get robbed? Am I going to get shot? Is my family safe? That kind of thing. When you get to the next level, you're getting the love and belonging. Now, this is an interesting thing, because there are a lot of social animals that have this as not just an evolutionary stage, but a deep fundamental need that when you're missing it as a social creature, your life really never really gets off the ground, and you never achieve any form of stability or happiness. And so looking at that level of love and belonging, that's a level that requires the previous levels to be satisfied. So you gotta be fed and watered and not entirely broke, and you have to be safe and secure. And when that happens, you look for love and belonging.
In fact, I heard a really interesting theory the other day that this is why people are so scared of public speaking. Because anytime when we were back in tribes and you had to do public speaking, uh-huh. it's because you had to convince the tribe not to kick you out for whatever grievance you had caused against the tribe. So it was like, hey, no, I don't deserve to be put out in the woods to die, because those Janet, she told me she didn't want those coconuts. That's why I took them. I didn't mean to steal them. It wasn't my fault. You know, it wasn't my fault, guys.
You know what I love is how you were like, yeah, the other day I heard, you know who you heard that from, asshole? From me, because I told you. Because that's my theory. So this idea, you're spot on. This idea that public speaking in social creatures, again, your reputation is your survival in a social tribe, where what you've done for others is repaid with the golden rule, and there's a tit for a tat, and we keep score, and your reputation actually determines, are you going to eat? Are you going to be safe? Are you going to be the one first in line to get shot? Those kind of things. And so public speaking triggers this physiologic fight or flight response in many people, where your life feels like it's in danger, even though we know the audience actually wants us to succeed and no one's going to kill us. But we're hardwired by evolution to actually think otherwise. So going back to the hierarchy, once you get love and belonging from your tribe or your nation or your clan or your ethnic group, right, your next level up is this idea of esteem, self-esteem.
And self-esteem in a lot of these hierarchies comes from achievement. It comes from making some kind of name for yourself. So whether you become a nurse or you become a doctor, you graduate pharmacy school, you become an RT, you get a promotion, whatever that is, it leads to a sense of self-worth and self-esteem that is part of the human developmental spectrum. It's achievement-minded, you know, meritocracy. Once you get that, what happens? And this is where I think it's interesting, because so much of American culture is focused in the yellow and the green here that we never really think about what is that teal area above. And that's what we're going to get to today, this self-actualization. And this is the old Maslow's hierarchy. We're going to talk about a little newer construct, which is called integral theory or spiral dynamics, which takes the same idea, but it kind of fleshes it out a little bit more. And we want to get up to this teal area, because that is the future of not only personal fulfillment and happiness, but a better system for healthcare. Countries that don't go to war, that take care of the entire, you know, tribe of humanity, so when the aliens come, we can kick their ass. A more self-actualized world is a happier, safer, peaceful, more prosperous world that solves problems that right now we think are intractable. So how do we kind of promote that? Now, what I wanted to sort of get into, and Tom, do you have any thoughts before we move on to the next?
Yeah, you know who's a great example of that is Peter Thiel, because his name is literally Thiel.
You're one of the most brilliant individuals I've ever had the pleasure of sparring with verbally. And I just want you to know that. I want you to know that publicly in front of, with 283 Z-Packers as my one. So, by the way, all kidding aside, when we work, we've been working all day. Oh, crap.
Yeah, damn it, Z.
We were waiting for you to segue, Z. Yeah. We were waiting.
You know, this is why I don't do this professionally, because I don't know what I'm doing. So I wanted to say, you know, even before we went in all this, but now it's actually a good thing. So we're talking about self-actualization. In Maslow's hierarchy, as healthcare professionals, right? Many of us are. Many of us in the tribe, or if we're not, we're interested in healthcare. We're passionate about making people better, or making the system better, or making our own chronic disease better, or whatever it is. How do you self-actualize in medicine? What is your sense of higher connection, purpose, interwovenness, and holism in terms of your position in the whole grand scheme of things? And we had shot, if you guys recall, we did a live video the other week where we were out in the desert and Logan was doing donuts in his BMW, and we also had a drone and some cameras. And we thought, we're going to shoot a really cool, inspirational piece. We didn't know exactly what it was going to be about. And then Sunday night happened in Las Vegas. And we went back and said, we now know exactly what it's going to be about. We are going to take that footage and footage we shot previously at UMC with them for a video that they had done and for videos that we've done. We had a drone shot of UMC's helipad and some other things with their staff. And we said, wouldn't it make sense to introspectively look at what it means to be in healthcare on the front lines? And it doesn't mean necessarily we're talking about a mass shooting in Las Vegas. We're talking about the tribe of healthcare and the meaning you find in it. And we ask the question in this video, if you had it all to do again, would you? Would you go into healthcare again? And we pose the question to the Z-Pack. Should we roll the video?
Let's do it.
Let's do this.
One of the things that comes to my mind is, if it is such a struggle, why do people even go into medicine?
Well, we don't talk about that. We just do it. Like, this isn't a path that we chose. This is this chose us. Like, we can't run from it. We can't escape it. There's nothing we can do, because it wasn't about us in the beginning. You know, it's about why we would sacrifice seeing our kids at their recital, or why we would mortgage our future with debt, or why we would run into danger when everyone else is running the other way. We chose it because we get a gift. You know, every day we come into work and we find this sacred space where we get to be with people when they're at their most vulnerable. And don't expect thanks, because you're not going to get them. That's not why we do this.
So when all is said and done, would you do it again? Would I do it again? Would you?
Right? Would you? I mean, I know my answer, right? Unequivocally, yes. And the idea is to get you thinking, would you? What is it about this calling? And it is a calling for many of us. This is a calling, right? There was no other choice. This is just what you do, and you don't think about it, you don't talk about it, you just do it. And when I think about the frontline responders, EMS police and fire and the folks in trauma at UMC and at Sunrise and at Desert Springs and Spring Valley and the Dignity system responding that night when, and Valley system when people were being wheeled in by the truckload with bullet wounds, and how they just sprang into action and they turned everything else off in the world until they were off shift, and that may have been hours later. And you think about, this is not a job, it's not a profession, it's not a vocation, this is a calling, and that's why we do it. And that's why we wanted to put that video out today, because this is what we are yearning for as human beings is, yes, we need our physiologic needs met. Yes, we need safety, but we need love and belonging. We need to feel like we have a sense of accomplishment. And then beyond that, we need to actualize in the sense that we feel connected to our purpose in this world. And in so many ways and for so many people, that's exactly what healthcare does for us. And whether you're the janitor in that video sweeping the floors at UMC, or you're the nurse in that PICU, or you're a doctor in the desert trying to be brooding and pensive, it's the same. Thoughts, Tom?
Kim Reagan says, wow, the millennials really do know what they're doing. Powerful video.
You know,
hey, listen, you guys deserve a great video like that. Like, you deserve, like, the movie of healthcare. That's why we make it so dope. Plus, me and Logan are just good at what we do.
I kind of hate to say this, but these assholes are really good at what they do. And you know how that whole thing went down is, look, and by the way, you guys know this already because you understand our dynamic. Like, we take a shit on each other on camera all the time because it's fun and that's what guys do sometimes. But I have nothing but the highest respect for these two assholes. Like, they are by far more than I've ever deserved to have on a team. And so Tom and Logan were like, hey, Z, we have this camera rental an extra day. We'd like to go to the desert and shoot some footage of you. And I'm like, really? What, like, what are we going to do? Is it going to be like, you know, Doc Vader trudging through the desert? They're like, yes, and we'll figure it out when we get there. We show up, we shoot the thing, and then it all comes together. And today we spent a lot of the day trying to feel, what is this thing? What is the ethos of this? And it takes three of us sitting in a room, two of us being non-clinicians, to actually come to the heart of it. And that's how this process works. Now, if we're talking about self-actualization, it's about increasingly, as you get to the higher levels, it's not about you. It's not even really about us. It's about all of us. It's the connections that you see. You see connections everywhere. The two political parties seem just black and white and dumb. And you're like, where is the truth? It's somewhere a mix of everything and something new, right? And as you start to see the world that way, you realize this emergent is those sort of self-actualizing levels that we're going to talk about.
Jennifer Fox says, the housekeeper needed to be in there. They matter and are often forgotten. I often saw them cheering patients up. Can I tell you guys my secret shame? I fought for that guy to be taken out of the video. I was like, listen, Z, it's nobody's calling to be a janitor.
Wow.
Take this dude out of the video. And Z fought to have him in.
Yeah, so. And you know why? Because I know the custodians and the housekeepers and the folks who make the food and those guys. I know those guys at the hospital. And for them, it is absolutely their calling. This is what they do. They take absolute pride in turning those rooms around, in cleaning up these messes so that patients get better care. And in trauma situations, in mopping up blood and doing those kind of things, it is absolutely their part of the fabric of everything, and they're crucially important. And so we had this argument where me and Logan were like, keep it in, and Tom was like, no, it doesn't make sense, it's out of place. And when Tom finally saw it placed and we did the voiceover, he was like, yeah, that's exactly right. So sometimes it's just a matter of getting to the right abstraction. Just like Tom said, I'm seeing it this way and I didn't understand what the hell he's talking about until I see it and feel it. Then I go, oh, that, okay, yeah, I get it. I'll try to trust you next time because I don't know what I'm doing. So, so if we then think about, back to this lecture, for lack of a better term, of human development. Now, here's another way to think about it. And I want you, when we look at this, when we go through this, I want you to think, where am I maybe on this? And understanding that it's often a blend of adjacent levels, and we all have some of these levels in us, but we're focused around a particular level. That's where we've developed to. And some people arrest at a particular level. Some people have vestiges of earlier levels that really dominate their personality, but they have some progress to higher levels, but they're dragged back by some vestiges of whether it's magical thinking or conformist thinking or over-focus on achievement and accomplishment. And when you start to see that in yourself, you start to see it in others, and then you start to appreciate and respect the whole fabric of the thing and understand how we can nudge ourselves up higher. Also, when we're taking care of patients, we can see it in our patients, in our colleagues, and in our system as a whole. Where is healthcare in this sort of hierarchy? And I'll tell you, it is not very high. So
Erica Christine says, you know, speaking of hierarchy, she says, always appreciate the contributions of everyone below you and at your level in the hierarchy as well as above you. The machine doesn't work if some of the gears are not allowed to rust. And at the end of the day, we're all just one big gear, you know.
What you said is actually crucial to understanding this idea of hierarchy. So there are two types of hierarchies. And what we're going to talk about is a growth hierarchy, where each higher level is only higher because it's a little more inclusive and a little more true and has a little more expansiveness in it. It contains more truth. But everything within it is not necessarily less true. It's just, it's true but partial. And this is a little more true and a little less partial, and on and on and on. So we are one gear, but each of the individual gears is absolutely necessary. So if you think about the hierarchy of a human body, it starts with quarks and mesons and atoms and electrons. Then it goes to molecules and cell structures and super, you know, proteins in DNA. And then those cells form tissues, and those tissues form organs, and those organs form systems, and those systems form a human being. And each of those things is enveloped progressively by the other. So you don't say one is less crucial than the other. You take away a lower part of the hierarchy, the whole thing falls apart, right? So that's how you should see every part of healthcare too, that it's all absolutely part of this beautiful construct that evolves out in both directions. So that being said, let's pull up the slide. that one is tough. That's more, that's kind of a fleshed out Maslow. Mm-hmm. So there's the simple Maslow, and there's the, let's see the fleshed out Maslow. Okay, now let's say fuck Maslow, and let's go to the other slide, the integral slide. Do we have that, or did we never get it, Logan?
We never got it.
Oh, God damn it,
I got
Logan.
Two slides, Z.
Damn it, that was the wrong slide. So the slide that I wanted was the simple slide and the integral slide. So what I'll do is I'll pull it up and we'll use the TADCAM.
TADCAM.
TADCAM. In the meantime, read me some comments, Tom Heineber.
Much respect for the blood bankers in Vegas this week. I can't imagine, Jan Trim says.
They have been not only crazy busy, but crazy effective in actually getting so many donations to exactly where they're needed, which, as you know, is not easy. And they're still saying that, you know, A negative blood, O negative blood is very, very much in demand and very much needed. Let me see if I can find. I wonder, Logan, if we never found the right slide here.
I don't think we did.
Philip says, oh man, I'm still in the esteem stage. And then he's crying. Philip, come on, bro. Pull it together, man. Pull it together.
Get your esteem together, bro.
Yeah. I'm a solid teal right here, people. Solid. I'm the tealest teal you ever find.
Now, we got to talk about teal, but I got to find the slide. It was that spiral slide. Do you remember it, Tom? Maybe Logan can pull it up on the computer. Can you do that?
Spiral Dynamics, type it in.
Yeah, Spiral Dynamics and Images.
I'll find it, Z, you can go back to
that. Okay, so the way that this works, and this was sort of championed by a bunch of developmental psychologists as well as philosophers like Ken Wilber. So Ken Wilber has this concept of integral theory, and it works like this. The world is composed of these things that are, he calls them holons, and that's where the term holistic kind of springs from. So they're both holes and parts of bigger holes. So when we talk about an atom, it's a hole in itself. It can survive on its own, but it's also made up of smaller holons, which are like quarks and mesons and down into the string level. But then it's part of bigger holons, like tissues and organisms in the universe. So it's the same with developmental stages. Like each one then is part and the base for the next one, kind of like Maslow's hierarchy. So when we start out, when we're born, kind of human growth kind of mirrors this, and it mirrors societal growth and all of that. So the first sort of stages are these sort of, and they use colors to kind of designate them. So something like a very dark infrared is the lowest stage, and that's a baby. A baby comes out, it has no sense of self. This, oh nice, with my boy Trump in there. It has no sense of self, but what it has, and this is gonna be impossible to read, but this we'll keep it up for, that's the problem with integral theory.
It's so
right,
dense.
It's so dense. Yeah. And I remember when I was first learning about this, I was just like, fuck this theory, because this is hard to learn.
Well, let's just go off the top of your head, because you know a lot about it.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy listening to you break it down.
So this is how it works. In terms of these stages, you start out in this infrared when you're a baby. And that means that you and the world around you are really one. Not in a good way, in an undifferentiated way. So a baby can't tell where its body ends and where its mom begins. It's all one goo.
I've always felt like being a baby is like being on psychedelic drugs. And I don't have any evidence to back up this theory, but it just feels right, you know what I'm saying?
Now, see, I would argue that what you're confusing when you say that is the baby sense of oneness with everything, with an advanced transrational sense of oneness, which you get through going through the higher stages. This is a so the baby hasn't differentiated a sense of self. So it's all just goo. And it's a regressive, primitive thing. So it can't tell. Now, around about 18 months, you reach this sort of next color up, whatever's right up from infrared. And that is this sort of magical thinking stage.
It's so, like when you start believing in Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and
even before that,
you know, communism.
Even before that, communism. even before that, in that stage, what you are actually believing is that mere thoughts can have consequences. So if I just think hard enough, I wish my mom to be here, she will magically appear. It's a kind of a magical thinking period.
Yeah.
And again, that it means that you...
I know a lot of people that are still doing that, Z. It's called The Secret, and they think it's real. I know they're idiots.
They are morons. Well, see, the thing about The Secret is it's purporting to be a transrational thought. We'll get to that. So these babies...
That's the law of attraction, though.
Yeah,
it is. What you're saying stupid babies think? That's what real adult... Like, I watched Hollywood actors talk about this, and they were like, no, it's real. It's as real as real can be. It's the law of attraction, people.
They are confusing. They're basically regressing to babies. So these babies, you know, 18 months and older believe this. Now, as you get higher in this, you get an ego development. So the baby starts to realize, wait, there's an I and there's a rest of the world. And in fact, the magical thinking baby has this. But the next level up is the I, ego, me. And then you start to realize, ooh, world is dangerous. And people are trying to hurt me. And I need to get what's mine. And that's the next level of development. It's the red level. And red, you can think of it as like power grabbing sort of person as a god type of thing. Like I need to get as much power as I can. Whatever I want is right. It's purely narcissistic. You cannot take the role of the other. You cannot see another's point of view. There is no tribe. There is no clan. There is just me and everybody else.
This is like when I was 4. And I was like, I want Snickers. And they were like, you can't have one, little Tom. And I was like, yes, I can. And I took it. And then I had to go apologize to the store manager. And I was like, I'm sorry, mister, that I stole your Snickers because I didn't know.
And what's interesting is the exact same thing happened last week. That's what's amazing about Tom is he really, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny with Tom. He's just constantly reliving that stage four.
Apocagy, capitulate, I got you. What did Z say?
Which actually, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny is a fancy scientific way of saying that all of evolutionary development is actually still within the highest organisms. So as a human embryo develops, it has a tail, it has gills, it has all these things that then disappear. So the development recapitulates, it relives the previous evolutionary path, which again speaks to this idea of holons, that as we evolve, we get progressively more complex and more true and less partial, but within us is all that old stuff. And so it's never wrong. It's just there's something more right. So as you evolve to the red stage, you're talking about criminal gangs as adults. You're talking about prison gangs. You're talking about people who will kill or be killed. The sort of lowest levels of ego.
Wait, what's that? What's that essay? Why are you talking about us, huh? Huh? What's up, Holmes?
Who are you trying to mess with, man? Yo. Don't you know I'm loco?
Shut your mouth, essay. Come on. You wanna go?
Insane in the membrane. Insane in the brain. What were we talking about? Oh yeah, so we were at red. So red, people who are arrested at red are sociopaths, criminals, people in gangs, etc. Not a good place to be, but you have to pass through this stage to get through the others. Now, one important piece here is you never skip a stage. You just don't. Everybody goes through all the stages. It's just how long do you dwell on a particular stage?
It's like crossing streams in Ghostbusters. You just don't cross the streams, you know?
Tom, imagine every molecule in your body exploding outward at the speed of light. Okay.
That'd be dope.
It would be very bad.
That's the definition of bad. Mm-hmm. So you don't skip these things. So after red, that's when we get interesting. Now we get into a little more modern. Now, if you look back in years, red evolved 50,000 years ago. You know, blue or infrared, sort of archaic magical thinking, those were tribal groups 75,000 years ago. As we start getting into the modern era, 5,000 years ago, we get into mythic conformist blue. So let me unpack that. Blue is a structure where you realize there's a separate self, I am different from the rest of the world, but instead of my needs being the only thing that matter, actually now there's this interesting family or clan or church or nation that I'm part of. And there's something other than me. It's actually me and us, local guys.
Yeah.
And it's us versus all those other guys that are in a different tribe or a different religion. So it's the saved versus the damned, or it's, you know, USA, love it or leave it, or
when you and a bunch of other guys get inside a fake horse and then they take you into your city because they think you're a sweet gift, and you get out of that horse, then you murder everybody.
Did you just go Greek on us?
Yeah.
That's,
And then your ships get wrecked on the way back home, and you're like, Poseidon's angry tonight, you know?
You know what? I've always felt something in this room, and that is that Logan is the face that launched 1,000 shipwrecks. He really is. Do you see what we did there, people?
Christian says, I grew up Mormon, total blue world four.
Oh my gosh, Christian, you nailed it. So here's the thing, and this is in no way, guys, understand this. We're talking about these developmental stages in the sense that we all have parts of these stages within us. Some of us settle at these stages. Some religions, some structures settle and focus at these stages. Some political parties focus at these stages. And that's okay, that's the nature of how these things unfold. So blue, it's called blue conformist or blue mythic conformist. And usually those sort of structures are things like the Catholic Church, the Mafia, much of Middle America actually is in a blue stage. What that means is that your focus is loyalty to the authority figures. There is a hierarchy, but it's a dominator hierarchy. What that means is instead of this growth hierarchy where it enfolds and accepts everything underneath it, a dominator hierarchy says, no, I'm the boss and y'all are underlings and y'all listen to me or y'all are gonna die.
Yeah.
And so that kind of structure, blue, is where you find a lot of the great, you know, theocracies. So if you look at like Iran, if you look at their whole, you know, national structure is blue mythic conformist, right? So it's crucial because you have to understand that's still better than red, which might be the Congo,
where there's a warlord who takes power and kills people just because he wants to be rich. And he doesn't even make the pretense of doing it under any egalitarian reason. That's just the structure. So when you get to blue, that was a huge advancement in humanity. You have the Roman Empire, you have the Catholic Church. These are huge advancements over, you know, hundreds, you know, tens of thousands of years of just tribal drudgery. And anybody who says, oh, we should go back to the tribal, you know, live as one with the earth, that's not an advanced thinking. That's a regressive thinking. And it's absolutely wrong.
Yeah. I always knew you were stupid hippies. Suck it.
Oh, my God. So, and yet I vaguely agree with that. So here's the thing. Once you get through blue, and you got to understand something here. The studies have shown that in the U.S., about 50% of the population has a lot of blue tendencies. Now, it doesn't mean they don't have other tendencies, but blue is a major sort of role player in, and Tom is pointing at Logan. Logan is actually deeply blue. And let me tell you the good and the bad here. And I'll just tell you the good because Logan's in the room. When he leaves the room, I'll tell you the bad. No, the good is that here's a guy who's so deeply devoted to his country.
America!
And to his community that
Other people
forget him. America, though, when we're attacked in Las Vegas by a gunman, he stands in line for 5 hours to donate blood, even though it's pretty clear he's not going to get to when he gets to the end. But he feels so deeply devoted to this particular tribe of people, his community, that he would do that. So the idea that blue is sacrificial to the good of the tribe or the clan is one of the wonderful advances of blue. That being said, there's something beyond blue. And by beyond, again, I mean it enfolds and sort of builds on blue in a way that adds more truth, right, in the best iteration of it. It's called orange. So the way orange works, orange emerged only in the last 200 to 300 years with the Enlightenment. Orange said, wait, blue started looking at itself and saying, wait, why should the Pope be the only person who, and the bishops be the only people who can read the scriptures? Like, why can't everybody? And
that's called Martin Luther. It's called the Reformation, son. Uh-huh. I went to Lutheran middle school.
And he pinned some stuff to a door, and he was like, take that, Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He nailed up his demands.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther.
I had a dream.
I had a dream that one day I would nail some stuff to a door, and the Pope would ignore me. So that,
they were pissed too. They were like, "Oh, you want?
Oh, you think
regular
so?
People to read books?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't.
Oh no, you didn't, Martin Luther. You're not even king yet. You're just Martin Luther. Who's that? Nobody. So when orange emerged, orange looked and said, "Wait, there's this thing. There's a telescope. Galileo saw that we're no longer the center of the universe, which means this whole question of the religious dogma starts getting rattled." And this thing called science starts, and Newton was like, hey, the orange dropped on my head, and that thing was a cantaloupe, and now I got guava brain, and boom, gravity. And the next thing you know, the orange revolution starts. Orange is called, one of the terms for it is achievement merit. So orange says, oh, and science. So orange says, wait, it's not just about this hierarchy, it's not just about this tribe, it's about the bigger picture. Like, there are universal truths that we can discover through science and empiricism, and we don't have to obey this dominator hierarchy that exists in the church that's based on no merit. I can actually work really hard, accomplish, and achieve accomplishments in the world that then push me up the hierarchy.
Right, and the birth of orange is basically like the birth of America, and you get thinkers like Adam Smith with The Wealth of Nations and Efficient Market Hypothesis, or, you know, Thomas Paine, or George Washington, or Alexander Hamilton, these guys, who are saying, how can we create incentives that, you know, produce the most capital in this system that we're creating?
And none of that would have been even imaginable in a blue mythic conformist system.
Right.
Because that's not how it works. Blue and red and infrared, they exist to create a circle that continues forever. It is just obey authority, authority tells you what to do. Obey authority, authority tells you what to do. And human progress slows to a halt. Orange broke through that and said, no, wait, human progress is dependent on humans doing things that cause progress,
yeah.
Which means we have to break free of this, which now the rise of the individual, yeah. The rise of merit, Ayn Rand,
right.
The concept of individual liberty that is universal,
mm-hmm.
looking at slavery and going, wait, what the fuck is that?
So basically, Orange was hella dope, except for the slavery. We didn't like that part.
Well, no, Orange looked at slavery and said, no.
Yeah.
This is not okay. It was Blue Mythic Magic, Mythic Conformist that said slavery is okay because here's the boss and here's everybody else. But then when Orange looked at that, they said, okay, well, now we free the slaves, we do this, the Enlightenment, etc. However, it's all about personal accomplishment, which means there's a new hierarchy in town.
Yeah. And there that is a bad man. His name was Karl Marx. And he started this stupid hierarchy. And I'll let Z take it away.
I was not at all going to talk about Karl Marx here. I was going to talk about the robber barons and the oligarchs and others that created a dominator hierarchy within the Orange meme, the Orange level of development. Now, think about this, guys. When you're going through your own personal growth, let's end at Orange here for a second. When you're going through your own personal growth, don't you go through a stage where you have magical thinking? Don't you go through a stage where you believe in the traditional hierarchical religious base? And some people stay in that stage, and that's fine, and they grow in other ways, right? But they might have their spiritual growth stop there. But then you go through this achievement stage where you're like, I'm gonna get my ass into med school. I'm gonna end up crushing the competition. I'm gonna become rich, and I'm gonna get a car that isn't a Camry, and I'm gonna race Logan's crappy $6,000 BMW with a rebuilt title that just had a battery die because he's pound wise and penny foolish. Or backwards.
America.
America. And we all go through that. And so Orange is America's. And so if you look at the American bell curve now, a lot in the blue conformist, a lot in the orange. And there's overlap. So there's plenty of blue conformists who are also very orange minded, right? We call those Republicans.
Did and you so, say memesy?
Oh. There it is.
Yeah, so talk about when this idiot made it all green up in this bitch.
Well, let's talk about that. So the orange level of development really, really, really... By the way, Kiri Ransom says, this might be the smartest tribe talk ever. Or is it, Kiri? So far, we showed a Karl Marx meme. Just because we say the word meme doesn't mean we're smart. No, we're trying. We're trying to elevate the discussion, and we often will fail. So... when Orange reaches its limit was about the 60s. And as you recall, in the 60s, something interesting happened. It was the whole cultural revolution in the US, where you have the student protests, you have all this other stuff. And people started looking at Orange and saying, wait, you've achieved what you think you want. We have environmental destruction. We have nuclear proliferation. We have science run amok that makes us have this existential crisis. Like, spirituality has been replaced. So in other words, the blue conformist religion was never properly replaced in Orange with something else. It was replaced with an atheist science, sort of worship of science, and almost a fundamental scientism, which made it very difficult for many people because they felt like there was a sense of something missing there, right? So when the 60s came along, you start getting the emergence of the next big meme, which is green. Green pluralism, multiculturalism, etc., deconstructionism, postmodernism. If Orange was the modern, you know, industrial scientific revolution, green is the postmodern counter-revolution that came up afterwards. So you think about... looking at all these supposed truths of the lower levels. So example, Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior and you must obey the members of your church. So that's a blue truth, say. Or the orange truth of, no, science says that evolution created, you know, man and from nothing in the Big Bang. The green meme says, all of these are true and also not true. It's all a cultural construct, depending on your point of view, and it's relative to how you were raised and what your environment is, and there's no one thing that's right or not. In fact, there's no hierarchy. Hierarchy is a lie. It's a way for these lower levels to oppress, and all hierarchies are wrong, and all viewpoints are right from their point of view, and there is no truth. And you spend your time in academics deconstructing all the science and all the culture and all the literature and all the truth from the previous levels and saying, no, all these things are really equal. They're all just manifestations of human culture. And all humans are equal, actually. And the environment is equal to humans. And animals are equal to humans. So you get the vegan mindset of this extreme plurality, which is, you know, a cow's life is the same as a human's life from its point of view.
Sounds like communist bullshit, Zito Gandhi.
Well, and that would have been the counter response from Orange and from Blue. Like, what the fuck is this? And that's what happens. Levels that are pre the next emergent level look at the level above and goes, that's hippie bullshit, every single time. Every single time. So, but the question is, what is wrong with green? What were you gonna say, Tom?
I'm gonna say, this is why I hate liberals so damn much, C-Dog MD. Because you can look at somebody who's in blue and you can be like, all right, well, you're just, you know, you're behind the times. Like, we've moved past that. We're not so jingoistic anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I used to pick word people.
Yeah, I used jingoistic. Logan learned a word today.
And then you can look at somebody that's in a red and you can say, oh, we're way past that. Yeah. You look at somebody that's in a purple, you say, you're a moron.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you can put those in their proper place.
Right.
The Greens are running amok on college campuses today, and they're saying we shouldn't have free speech because free speech oppresses minorities, and we shouldn't have genders because genders oppress people that don't have genders. And then they say we shouldn't have Homo sapiens because I feel like I'm a fox, and I'm a foxkin. That's what I am. And they're just a bunch of assholes who need to shut the fuck up. And that's how I feel about it.
Oh, so actually, I'm going to agree and disagree with you. And here's how I'm going to agree. The green emergent, which is about 24% of U.S. citizens, are in green, solidly in green. All of them live in San Francisco, New York, and Los Angeles. However, no, I'm kidding. But they do tend to focus on the coast. When you think about blue states, they often have a green heavy bent. If you look at non-governmental organizations, like NGOs, they are green. They are like, no, every culture, say in Africa, is the same. We should help them all equally. We should give them all aid, et cetera. Now here, that's the beauty of green, is that it is the first meme in the entire evolutionary history of humanity, and really feel the weight of that, that says, no, actually, everybody ought to be on a solid, firm, equal ground. Like, we all have our perspective that should be respected, right? That's the intent of green. This is what actually happens in green when it fully evolves out, is you get NGOs, non-governmental organizations, that go, yeah, everybody's equal and we should help them. And then they go in, there are no hierarchies, there are no right ways. And they go, except for our right way of how to help these poor African people that don't know how to help themselves. So we're gonna help them with our way, which is better, because there are no hierarchies. Yeah. And hey, all hierarchies are bad except for our hierarchy, which says that there are no hierarchies. Right. And there are no truths except for the truth that there are no truths. And it starts to self-contradict. Then you get the judginess.
It starts to eat itself.
It's like it starts to eat itself.
About the caterpillar, the very hungry caterpillar.
And Tom goes in for red, just like that. He goes in for red. It's amazing. The very hungry caterpillar. You know, hey, look. Rachel Hignite actually nailed it. Look, I can respect your right to pray to a magic invisible dude in the sky as long as you can respect my right to regulate my anatomy autonomously. If that's green, then green heart love. That is the essence of green at its best, Rachel. Now, the problem with green is, as Tom says, is it tends to eat itself where it gets so judgmental of other levels underneath it. First of all, denies the existence of levels, says there are no levels, we're all equal. And the problem is, some people are more equal than others, right? As George Orwell said, in that there still is a hierarchy. But the thing is, what we want to grow is a growth hierarchy, not a dominator hierarchy. So as we start to realize that green is not perfect, and the baby boomers have been realizing this, it's called boomeritis, this idea that it's really a kind of narcissistic judgmentalism that can evolve when green is taken to a limit. The beauty of green gets obscured. But then what do we do? Do we regress back to orange or blue, as some conservatives would have us do? I think more advanced conservatives, libertarians, actually want us to transcend green. And I actually see myself more in the moderate group, where there actually is a level above green.
Green is retarded. Because...
hey, developmentally
sorry,
delayed.
Green is dotarded.
We don't use the R
it's
word
dotarded.
Here.
It's dotarded.
Yes.
Because... they hold completely contradictory beliefs about all sorts of nonsense because they think it's all a power game. This is why, you know, you see the meme going around that, you know, white people have white privilege. that's because that's a green ideology, that everything's just a power game in postmodernism, and that there is no real truth. So if you're holding power over another person, it's because you're evil. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This is why they can look at something like Islam and conclude, like, well, that's just their culture, man, and, like, you know, you're a white oppressor and you don't understand. It's like, but they're beating women. Well, you know, man, I don't know, man. I mean, do they think it's a beating or do they think it's like a love tap, man? I don't know. That's so, a green. That's a bad green.
So that is green in its failing state.
Yeah.
So what do you
Which
do?
All the hierarchies.
All the hierarchies
learning
fail.
That all the emerging all hierarchies have a fail. Have
the
a failing
hierarchies.
State. Yeah.
And this is how you evolve to the next stage. And this is classic and it's documented. First, you're in a stage, you just discover it, you start to identify with it. Then you exclusively identify it with it. You know, America, love it or leave it, right? Then you start to have questions. Wait, well, it's interesting, I saw this thing where, well, could it be that, like, France isn't all that bad? They have a long history, and even though they're commie, you know, wussies, they have a lot of history and they've done a lot of stuff right. And then you start to see the next level up and you go, oh, this is an interesting thing. The next thing you do is you differentiate from the old level. You go, you know what, I'm not feeling that anymore. And you start to identify with the next level. Now, in a healthy way, you incorporate the level underneath and appreciate and love it as part of who you are and part of your growth.
Yeah.
In an unhealthy way, you completely deny it and move past and say, that's stupid. I'm never, that's dumb. Everyone
I'm
in
unhealthy.
That stage is
I'm
dumb.
I'm unhealthy towards green. I don't like the green at all. And they all accuse me of, like, oh, I'm delayed. No, you're delayed, you stupid greens.
So this brings me to a point. Tom brings me to the point, pathology in the developmental growth pattern. So as we go through these memes, it's not usually clean. Often there's a piece of us that's either regressed in a past level of color. So we are stuck, a piece of us is stuck in red where we just want to dominate the hell out of people, or a piece of us is stuck in infrared where we have magical thinking and superstitious belief and anti-vaccine ideology and we believe that, you know, Jenny McCarthy's kid was an indigo child. And there's some regression. Then there's jumping a little bit too far ahead where you take pieces of the next meme up without fully having mastered the previous one, and that can be damaging. So the question is, what's the next meme? And without the slide, I'll just say this. They call it sort of whatever past green, so teal. Turquoise is another way to look at it.
Yeah.
And this is, okay, so all of these memes we've just talked about, every single one, show the Maslow hierarchy, would you? Yeah. Every one of these memes up to green only goes through basically the highest level of esteem. It does not get to that teal top of the pyramid. And all of that is considered what they call tier one development. So all the way through the most liberal, hippie, the world is one, like, love each other, man, all viewpoints are equal, bro, except for yours, which is less equal than mine. What's the next level? Tier two, and that is about 5% of the US population, turquoise, teal. This is where I would argue, and others have argued, the future of saving all of us lies, is us starting to nudge people in the direction of teal. So what is teal? Teal is the first truly transformative level of human development where it looks at all the previous levels and says, yes, and each of these is true but partial. It is all part of a bigger holistic web, or this holon that we're talking about. So that means when you're in teal, you see things as a series of relationships instead of simple achievement. How much can I achieve? Who can I dominate? Red. Who can I obey? Blue. Who can I beat? Orange. More, or who am I equal to, man? Green. Teal says, Who is it that I'm related to that I can form this mesh and network with as part of this larger whole that has a bigger purpose than just me? And that transcendent, transpersonal, transegoic reality comes with a whole new way of looking at the world. You start to see gray areas everywhere. You look at the two political parties and you go, yeah, they both have their points and they both have their downsides and their shadow. And if we could integrate the best elements, what might emerge is actually bigger than the sum of the parts. You might look at medicine and go, oh, health 1.0, achievement orange. Health 2.0, green pluralism. We're all part of a commodity machine where we're all equal in service of the productivity. Well, what is teal medicine? It's health 3.0. Team-based, relational, holistic, transcendent, looking at the entire human and the population, using technology to lever and form relationships and connect everybody together. That is the magical beauty of teal and turquoise and these tier two levels. And in those levels, you can look at all the other levels and enfold them in a kind of an embrace. So you can sit at a point where you can look at all the stuff. You can look at politics. You can look at this article. You can look at a mass casualty shooting and see it really for what it is, which is part of this bigger web of truth. There are no absolutes. And you struggle constantly to create these connections and relationships. And you see everything as a web. That is the next sort of stage.
Yeah. See, I'm actually a taupe. I'm a little beyond teal. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Because us taupes have found that the teals were a little, let's say, they enfolded all the other truths, and some of the other truths were bullshit. Like the greens. They had to go.
Just the greens.
Us taupes, we got rid of them. And now we run our economy on Bitcoin, and everything is dope here. So I'll see you guys in the year 2042 when you finally get here. But until then, taupes out. You know what I'm saying?
Taupes out, bitch. Oh, my God, I hate you so much, Tom, and yet I love you. That's the magic of integral thinking. Look, none of us here pretend to be integral thinkers, right? We just strive towards it. So today we were talking about this. If you look at the 5% of the population that is integral level thinkers, they are the people who are, they get amazing joy and pleasure and accomplishment out of connecting people. So they'll introduce you to you and watch the connection that happens in a kind of a triad. They are the ones that are running all of innovation right now. So if you look at an Elon Musk, do you think he's orange? He doesn't care about achievement. He's already rich. He's trying to change the world for everybody. He's not talking the language of I and me, or me and my tribe, or me and my clan. He's talking about we and us as a global civilization. Now, Logan will push back and say globalism is a lie. Well, you might say—
It's a false song, Z.
A false song, I like that.
That's what it is. That's good. That I will not listen to.
that's what a blue would say.
So a blue early orange might say that, but I also have heard Logan have glimpses of some green.
Don't you let them know, Z.
I won't let them know. He's soft and nougaty inside. But the thing is that globalism that Logan feels is this sort of pluralistic judginess of the green meme. The question is, the integral pluralism is very, very different because it recognizes that hierarchies do exist, but they're growth hierarchies. For example, now this is going to cause immense butt hurt, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Let the butt hurt flow.
There are certain belief systems that shall remain unnamed.
Islam.
I won't name it, or them, because there are many, that degrade 50% of the population, that encourage the killing of innocents, and we're talking about extreme ideologies within any religious group. Now, an integral thinker, a teal level thinker, would look at that and say, that is not where we need to be. That is not a viewpoint that is considered equal to others and relational. That is a viewpoint that needs to be transcended.
That's right. And that's when you come up to taupe. You know what I'm saying?
That's when you get
you
to taupe.
Join me.
America.
Yeah, and all the money's digital and we don't listen to the government. It's great. Taupes for life.
Sometimes it hurts my heart, Tom Heineberg. Should we read some comments?
Jessica Draper says, being teal in a non-teal world is exhausting.
Okay, so here's the thing about teal.
Yeah.
What's the downside of teal? Elitism.
Yes.
So people who are in teal are often accused of having elitist thinking. So they think they're better than everybody else. They think nobody else understands them, this and that and the other thing. Now, that may have an element of truth because when you're in a 5% category and you're looking at everything else and you're just like, come on, guys, you can't see this like I see this, you tend to get a little bit snooty about stuff. And so that may be a piece of it, but the truth is we still have to push towards Thiel. Like, hanging out with Elon Musk, I bet you would, after a while, be like, damn, that guy, like, thinks he knows everything. It's probably because he knows a lot of shit. And he's seen a lot of stuff. He's been through orange. He's been through blue. And he's mastered them. And now he's on to this, you know, Thiel sort of level.
Right. He needs to get on my level, which is taupe, like I keep saying. Twopper. Jesus Christ.
Don't do it, Tom. Damn it.
Oh, no. God.
This is what a red would do.
I put it up and then said I shouldn't put that
up. I'm going to say something here.
I'm growing, Z, slowly.
You are growing. You are growing. You think twice before posting these memes. And then, you
and
still
then
post
Tom
them.
Does it anyway.
What I love about this team is we span the entire developmental cascade. And I'm not going to say who's what. Because I suspect that Logan's actually Thiel and I'm more like, you know, dark red.
I'm hella woke.
But, you know, it is interesting because... you know, like another Thiel tribe, I'm laughing my face off, universe, you're hilarious, Victoria Wallace. So it's funny, so there are these groups of like, oh, we're Thiel and, you know, we're Thiel tribe. Okay, that's just crazy. What that is it's exclusionary and it's elitist. It's just as bad as the green judginess or the orange achievement mind. Oh, he's not good enough to be in our country club, Bob. Ma, yeah. Ma, what did his father do? Nothing. that's no good. That's right. Not integral. That's yeah. Not Thiel.
But the Thiels are like that too. In fact, aggro hippies always get real aggressive with you about their Thielness, especially like stoners that are our age do this all the time. It's like, dude, I get it. You took shrooms and went to Coachella. You think you know the universe. Shut up. Spare me, please.
Look at our pinned comment, Mark Binder.
I worked.
You pinned it?
Yeah.
Good work. I worked with many translators in Afghanistan that definitely disagreed with the shortcomings of the Islamic faith, but they remained Islamic for the peaceful standards, many of whom are now legal Americans. So here's the thing, Mark. Okay. Yes. And the vast majority of people in the Islamic faith are absolutely peaceful, and that's true of most religions. There's always going to be a fringe in any religion. But here's the thing. This gets to thinking. We talked about judgment and the Thiel platform. If you're looking at a country, like say you're looking at China, and you're looking at it through the eyes of green, the green meme, the green pluralistic meme, which 24% of Americans are, most of the elites on the coasts, a lot of government officials are in the green meme. What does that mean? They look at China and they see red mixed with blue. They see authoritarian regime with some local corruption in terms of red, and then they see an emerging orange. So this sort of capitalistic engine that's starting to happen in China. And they will apply their green pluralistic values to that society, not understanding, because remember, green denies the existence of levels. They say all levels are the same. There's no level. It's all culturally created. There's no truth. It's all the same unreality. They look at that and go, oh, why? They need to be up at green because like green is the only truth. And they need to like treat everybody equal, and they need to be a democracy, and they need to stop violating human rights. What they fail to recognize is that, as I said in the beginning of this broadcast, you do not skip a level. You can nudge through a level more quickly with support by optimizing that level, but you never skip a level. You don't go from blue to green. You have to go through the orange capitalist achievement stage, and that means some environmental destruction. It means, you know, destroying waterways, right? And so here's the question. How then do you help China? If you go and judge them and say you're not doing what we want you to do as American Green, well, they're not gonna do that. They're gonna flip you the bird the same way Logan flips you the bird if you say, hey man, I wanna identify as an Apache helicopter.
What you need to appeal to their orangeness and say, hey, you know, there's actually a lot more money to be made in not polluting the earth. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it is. Yeah. And that's exactly
we'll
right.
We'll pay you not to pollute
we'll
the earth.
We'll pay you not to pollute. Yeah. Or you optimize their orangeness in a way that we never had the chance to do. So we had to go through coal and we had to go through all that. China doesn't necessarily have to do that. We can help them with technology to actually make their orange much more effective, which means they're gonna kick our ass in the future. But that's okay because we're at a level now, green, Thiel, entering Thiel, where the Chinese are people like us, and if they get up to our level, great, we're all one global community, but we're not all there yet, right? So that's how you have to look at international relations. So if you're in Afghanistan and you're dealing with different levels of societal development, you cannot apply an American value, whatever that is, directly to that population. It's going to fail. And it's exactly the problem with the green meme.
You know what's interesting is I actually know a guy personally that knows what we should do about China.
He happens to be an orange Tuesday.
Oh,
that was great.
That was really good.
Let's wrap it up. And you need to tell the tribe what Z-Cat's name is, because there is a lot of comments here wanting to know what Z-Cat's name is.
So here's the thing. The children and my wife named this cat without my input, even though Tortall, what was it, Dilalaw, so many great names.
Toxo, my
favorite. Toxo.
Toxo's the best one.
They were all relegated for this she-cat. They ended up calling her Mochi, which, of course, it didn't stick.
Nope.
So I just started calling her Mooch because she's always trying to get stuff from me. And in the end, it's just going to be Kitty, because that's what all our animals end up named. It's Bunny, it's Kitty, and it's Hammy. And I don't care which iteration of it is. Have you seen The Matrix? This is the sixth iteration of The Matrix. This is our sixth Kitty, and it will be called Kitty. And it will end the same way in a massive singularity. So guys, listen, I'm glad you sat with us for the, you know, couple hundred people that stuck with us through this.
Listen, I'm going to deputize you all as Teal. Everybody who hung out the whole time.
Yeah.
And if you want to get hella woke and join me up at Taupe, buy some Bitcoin. You know what I'm saying?
I hate you so much, Tom Heidemer. We out.
Go. Taupe for life!
Everybody burn a tree.
Tad is hella taupe.
Yo, Z-Pack. This episode is made possible by the generous sponsorship of Athena Health. Athena Health partners with hospital and ambulatory clients to drive results. They offer network-enabled medical record, revenue cycle management, patient engagement, care coordination, and population health services to build Health 3.0. Yo, get back to the work you love doing. Athena Health. Free up.